Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, TFG1 Mike, and I'm joined by Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And Snotty Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello. It's almost like a Garbage Pail Kid.
Yes. Today we'll be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Wars Season 3. So, how are you, Michael?
I'm good.
Yes.
Not bad at all.
Don't ask him about his other thing.
Is that Dr. Girlfriend?
We might have a bukkake good time.
Don't use words that you don't know what they mean.
I seriously doubt that there will ever be an episode of this podcast that we don't drag it down some sort of hole.
It's going down a hole already, but
there'll be a couple in this episode.
I hope not. Come on, man. We've got a band together to, I don't know. Never mind. It's never going to happen. It's like, dragging us out of the hole is about as likely to happen as Mike editing a typo or something, you know?
Editing
like,
a typo?
Like editing out editing his keyboard punching.
Exactly.
There's one per episode.
Sound typo.
Yes.
Moral typos, if you will.
That
Is
sounds...
that where he tongues the keyboard to make
no,
it
make it, sound? No, A-U-R-A-L, not O-R-A-L. kind of gross.
Alrighty then. So, Steve, what have you been up to?
Well, besides editing shows, getting them all pre-put into the site so that all I have to do is hit publish, publish, publish. And then I got Under the Red Hood earlier. I just have to yet watch it. I rented it. So
I already rented it. I already saw it. It was pretty good, actually.
I'm actually looking forward to it, despite the fact that it does not have the standard voice actors.
But
the animation looks pretty well, too, from what I've seen.
But honestly, they,
I think I've heard they pull it off pretty well, though.
Oh, they pull it off extremely well, and, you know, the whole point of the DC, and this has nothing to do with Transformers, but the whole point of the DC Universe original animated films is so they can bring in other actors to voice these iconic characters. And honestly, out of all the ones they've done so far with voicing Batman other than Kevin Conroy, Bruce Greenwood is the best one out of all of them.
Yeah, and I heard something about that they're thinking about making him the new Batman of the 2000s or 2010s.
Yeah, it could be.
Because they're going to be launching a new show
later
this year.
Yeah.
After what's-his-face off Drew Carey's show gets to quit.
Oh, yeah, Oswald on Batman, yes. Brave and the Bold. Yeah. There was a panel, Kevin Conroy panel at C2E2 in Chicago. This year, where he basically said that they've told him, you are the classic Batman voice, and whenever we want that voice, we'll give you a call. But we want to go other directions for other series to have someone else voice Batman. You know,
I can understand that. He's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, something like that. What else was I going to say? This will actually be the last episode that will be weekly. We're on the last week of July, so the Beast Unleashed podcast weekly episodes will be ending. We will be going back to the bi-weekly format of every other Monday, so we are actually caught up. No thanks to BotCon.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yay!
Woohoo! Hey, at least we'll be caught up, and we're getting some of the other shows. And by the way, if you haven't, listen to M-Wire.
Yes, we are currently in Police Academy week. We are recording and releasing an episode of M-Wire every day this week.
It's quite fun.
What? It's fun, man. Police Academy 3, that record was awesome. That movie is a lot funnier than I remember.
I can't wait till Police Academy 4 record.
Yeah, that's later tomorrow morning, or hell, it might even be later tonight. It just depends on when we get done with this record.
Probably in the morning.
Yeah, something like that. Do we have anything else we want to mention before we get into the episodes?
No.
We might want to mention our UK affiliate, Blogomatic 3000.
Yes, I'm still waiting on a response from Phil about, I asked him, and I've said this before, I've asked him to record a little MP3, 30, 40 second long MP3 that we can insert into the episode, so it's him actually talking about his own website. So,
or he could send us a text clip that I could read or you could read or whatnot.
Yeah.
I would actually dig having him record something because, you know, again...
Yeah. Oh, no, it would be cool.
Yeah. Well, I asked him, and he said he would do it when he could get around to it, so apparently he's very busy at this point in time.
Well, he posts like a madman, so...
Oh, yeah. But he has really good information.
Yeah. Oh.
I actually like going there before any of the other movie sites now, just because a lot of his stuff is well thought out.
Yes.
Well, where does he get all this stuff?
I don't know.
Is there just better stuff in the UK, or how does that work?
Well, they are 5 hours ahead. Well, actually, 6 hours ahead if you count the one host that lives in Central Time. But no, here in the Eastern Time Zone, they are 5 hours ahead of us.
All I know is when I flew there, it was a 6 hour difference. So.
Well, that's because you live in Central and you're an hour behind the Eastern Time Zone, which all time should be Eastern. It just makes it easier.
Making fun of YouTube.
All time should be Eastern. I think all time should be Central.
No.
I think all time should be at a standstill. There's no time like now.
There's no time like the present.
I like presents.
Yes.
I want lots of them.
Speaking of presents, this is kind of on topic of Transformers, not really Beast Wars, but shut up.
Boo.
We all know that San Diego Comic-Con, Hasbro has their exclusives for that convention, and they usually put the extras on Hasbro Toy Shop the Monday afterwards of the convention. And the Mighty Mug Prowl went on there for $15.99. However, when I looked at it the first time, it was out of stock. When I looked at it again Monday night, it was in stock. I said, okay, well, hopefully they won't screw me over on this order like they did with the War for Cybertron toys. And I went ahead and ordered him, seeing as how he was in stock and he wasn't... I'm pretty sure once he goes out of stock again, they're going to send him off to be AFA graded and he'll be like $100-something like the Iron Man 2008 Mighty Mug is. But anyways, yeah, so I've hopefully got that coming.
That'd be nice, yeah.
Yes, one of our fans of this show, Godspeed, is apparently going to send me a War for Cybertron Optimus, so that's pretty awesome of him.
Boo.
Cool. I have one.
Yeah.
I just saw another one at Toys R Us tonight, too.
Why are they only... Target... Well, of course, you know, Michael always says, oh, my Target restocked. I go to my Target, there's nothing but fucking tuner mud flaps. Goddamn fucking thing. But why are they only showing up at Toys R Us? They're not Toys R Us exclusives as far as I know.
I don't know. They had all the new ones there today.
That sucks.
They even had the Scout class, and I was tempted to pick them up again, and I said, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
we had the boys there, and I'm not a big fan of picking up toys at Toys R Us while I have my boys with me, because then they're going to want toys too. And it's like, I'm not buying toys for everybody, just me.
I feel a little greediness coming on.
No, no, no. Well, you know, we get toys for the boys have way more toys than they need. You know,
kids always do.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They have a lot of toys, put it that way.
Yeah, it's a good thing Chrissy doesn't limit them to one collection.
Otherwise, it might get a little bit excessive.
Yeah, we don't want them being obsessive compulsive at the age of 2 and 4. You know.
Yes, so let them save that to where they make their own money to pay for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was like for Michael's birthday, which was about a month, almost 2 months ago now. I had to literally almost beg his wife to get him the Phineas and Ferb, Perry the Platypus, and Dr. Doofenshmirtz toys.
She says, "You are not starting that shit." I was like, "No, just the one."
Yeah, it's just one. It's not like you got to catch them all.
Oh, it's funny too, because my whole office is like a sea of Transformers stuff, and I have Doofenshmirtz and Agent P sitting on my desk, and they're so out of place. But no, I dig them.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is going on? I'm trying to think.
Mashed taters.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, we're going to get into some episode before Steve starts going into all the stupid Narwhalian crap. Shut up. On that note, we're going to talk about some episodes.
Controls. That's where they're vulnerable.
Megatron, what is Benito report? Failure.
Worthless bug. Inferno, rampage! Prepare to take hostages! The Ark is ours!
Big breads are my specialty. Not too shabby.
Still smells like fish.
First up today is The Cutting Edge. The original air date was November 15th, 1998, and it was written by Ian Weir. A silent metal dinosaur hunter stalks the proto-humans. Rhinox surmises it is Megatron's handiwork, and the task of leading two proto-human children back to their tribe falls to Cheetor and Black Arachnia. Silverbolt has developed a crush on the Predacon spider, and is none too subtle about it. When Tarantulas arrives leading a pack of cyber-raptors, will the two Maximals be enough to protect the innocent tribe?
None too subtle.
Who knows?
Yeah, let's see, where do I want to start? It's become very known to me that everything in this cartoon series at least the Beast Wars part of it, goes splat with a rock very well.
They do that a lot.
It is a pretty common theme in the show.
I think
that's easier to animate.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even count how many times Tarantulas has been splatted with a rock, or Rampage, or Inferno, or Quickstrike, or, you know, I just can't even count it how many times.
Quite honestly, I think that they may have, just for the hell of it, since they first started squishing Tarantulas with rocks, decided to create random character models with boulders smushing them.
Yeah.
Just for fun. And then somehow it got worked into the show.
And let's be honest, the Cyber Raptors are pretty much, you know, throwaway characters, so.
Well, they are, and at the same time, I think that the guys that did the show, I think that, personally, I think they had an obsession with Dinobot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at it, Dinobot clone, Dinobot, dead Dinobot, and, of course, Cyber Raptors with laser eyes.
Laser eyes.
Yeah.
I like that,
though. They still haven't figured out the transformability, although these are not as superior as the Dinobot clone, other than they can shoot laser eyes, because they have the big canister on their back that can be smushed, and it causes them to self-destruct.
Yeah, I have a note about that here in a little bit.
It's with the scene where they jump.
Yeah, don't steal my thunder on that, because that's a note for later.
Jump, smush, smush.
You don't want to mess up his bullet point, so.
Shut up, Michael.
Yes, it might throw him off. You might lose a bullet point. Ooh.
I know Cheetor is starting puberty, but crushing on Black Arachnia, no. That's a bad idea.
Isn't it obvious?
Oh,
he wants to put his six flags over her Cybertron. And Doggybot is not amused.
Yeah, that was my other note. Dog versus cat for Black Arachnia. That's not.
And Frisky Spider Frisky Kitty wants to play with Curvy Spider.
That's basically what we're looking at here.
Yes, and it doesn't seem to slow down anytime soon.
It only gets better.
Or worse, depending on how you look at it.
At first she's like, oh, hey, back off, because my man's over here, and he's not liking the way you're looking at me, so. Yeah. And he didn't. Well, I mean, it's obvious. He's like growling at him, like, "I hate you."
Yeah, I know.
Back off,
you guys. The scene where Cheetor and Black Arachnia have to protect the two children, when Cheetor makes the move off the tree, that was a nice move, but just a horrible dismount because he gets blasted all to hell.
Well, my question is, why would he put the kids in a tree? That just made no sense. I mean, even if he didn't get shot on the way down, they're stuck in a tree. I mean, if the whole point was to get Black Arachne to rescue them, well, mission accomplished, but otherwise, that was just a dumb move.
Yeah.
You could have just ran over and knocked the tree down.
Yeah, that's true.
Just say it. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Poor Quickstrike. As much as I really don't care for him, Inferno.
Is that the trap?
Yeah, Inferno. Why did you not choose me to go in first, Royalty? Because when expecting booby traps, you often send in the boobs.
Because Inferno, when expecting booby traps, always send the boob in first.
Yes, and then after that happens,
I like boobs.
When the booby trap is sprung, and you see the damage model on Quickstrike, and you see nothing but stars around his head, there's a Roger Rabbit reference in Beast Wars. Look, Raoul, stars.
Did he say that?
No, I just made the reference.
Because that would have been the reference. But it was literally like a giant fist that just smashes him.
That was one of those like odd moments of, where the hell did this big hand come from?
Yeah.
it's like they made a glove around optimal spare hands and then said, punch him.
I thought that this particular splat had Waspinator written all over it.
No. The next one.
Squashing.
The next one has Waspinator written all over it. Oh no, down raptor, bad raptor. And that was after they figured out the controls on the back make him go screwy.
He jumps on his head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Poor Waspinator.
Poor Waspinator. And then not only did he get jumped on, but then he got a Team Rocket moment.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you don't make that other reference at this point in time, for the rest of this podcast, I really don't care if you make Team Rocket references anymore, because anything is better than that other reference you tried to make last week.
Which reference?
I believe it had something to do with SpongeBob, but I don't want to go there.
SpongeBob?
I don't know.
Blasting off again!
No,
SpongeBob is blasting off again. Well, I don't know what you're referring to. I might have
listen back to TBU 16. There's something in there. There's something where I just outright stop you.
I forget what that is.
Well, we'll go back and listen to the last week's episode then.
I'll bring it up. Next
I don't remember
episode.
Either. It's
I'm
something.
So bringing it up. If I have to go back and listen for it, I'm so bringing it up next time.
Well, that's fine.
Make a note.
Well, because it's one of those things where after you said, after I basically said, no, just don't eat, don't even do that, you said, ooh, I think I touched a knife. So it's in TBU 16.
I vaguely remember it. But
yeah, I don't remember what it was you tried to reference, though, but I just would not let you do it.
We do these, and it's late, and we're tired, and slap happy to begin with. I don't remember.
Yay, Death Charge. You actually did something for the team.
Yes, he actually thrashed Megatron's group. He gave them some cyber pizzas.
Yeah, the power pizza. That was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference.
Yes,
it was.
Yes, it was.
You remember the
and it was an epic
pizza
one.
Thrower?
Yes, I remember the pizza thrower.
They had those in the van.
Yeah. No, the one I remember looked like a big tank, and it had like a disc thrower on top.
Yeah, there was a separate toy for the pizza thrower.
Horrible stickers.
Yes,
but it was nice that Death Charge, you know, took a minute away from hunting Rampage.
One thing I noticed, and I didn't notice it before this episode, when Rhinox and Rattrap are battling Megatron's team there, or Megatron's group or whatever, Rattrap's gun matches his paint scheme. It's blue.
Didn't notice.
I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, it is. So
I thought that Rhinox was a little braver than he should have been. you know, I mean, he's got his two guns, and he's, you know, making the diving motion against firing. But, you know, the last time Rhinox got that close to Megatron, he tore his arm off. So, you know, he's not looking forward to having him back on the base.
Yeah.
You know, at least not without Big Preds are my specialty. Depth Charge coming back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want my arm torn off, but that's just me.
And I like how at the end of the episode where Megatron's learning that the transmetal 2 Dino Raptors or Cyber Raptors aren't going to cut it, and he's got half a spark to spare.
Yes.
I'm surprised that Megatron doesn't do the same surgery on Waspinator's spark to make more Dinobots. Because, you know, Waspinator's not publicly, you know, immortal like Rampage, but he's fairly immortal. He takes a beating every episode.
Let's see, he's the one that has lasted pretty much as long as Megatron and some of the beasts from the Maximals.
Yeah.
All the way through the entire Beast Saga.
And beyond.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I think if Megatron thought for an instant that he could chop Waspinator's spark in half, and he would survive.
Oh, he'd have four of him.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I think I've... Yeah, I think I've said this before, but Waspinator is comedy relief. You can't kill the comedy relief.
Well, Rampage had his spark cut in half, and he's still alive. He's not dead.
But he's like Hannibal Lecter.
Oh. I'll eat his living spark with a nice Chianti and fava beans.
Oh. What do you got for this one, Steve?
Well, Megatron is, quotes Shakespeare in this one.
Often.
Yes, well, he does so more so with one phrase of, "Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war." But yes, other than that, did you find it odd that Transmetal Tarantulas actually uses his leg guns, and this is the only time that you ever see them?
I think that's one of those blink and you'll miss it type things, because I read that in the wiki and I didn't see it in the
episode. I saw it. It was one of those real quick, like, not even 2 second scenes, and then it was like, yeah, new scene. Like they were throwing in something, like, so you could, you know, have something to be like, value. Hey, I noticed that, you know.
Yeah. Black Arachnia did it a bunch of times, but...
Well, she always does it. That's, like, her main weapon, because most of the time she doesn't carry that big honking gun.
Yeah.
She just carries it out of somewhere. Like, she pulls weapons out of her ass sometimes, literally.
That's where they're hidden. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and as for... Don't laugh at me, fool! The proto-human is seen again. The same one who picked up Dinobot's club.
Yep.
Yeah, he's still got the club.
His beat stick.
He's going clubbing.
He's like, I'm going to hammer. It was the hammer first time seeing hammer.
Hammer time! Da-da-da-da. Well, we all got to get our parachute pants on for this one.
He needs his sunglasses, though, that Primal used in Possession.
Hasta la vista?
Yes.
Don't bug me, kid. Your forehead slopes.
What? What'd you say?
I said, don't bug me, kid. Your forehead slopes.
Wow. Anybody notice that Tarantulas, for some reason, wants to be under Megatron's command and explains nothing of how he decided to reach this resolution?
It did, like, seem strange that Megatron is suddenly ordering him around.
It's strange that all of a sudden it's like, oh, everything is good now.
Well, it makes me wonder if Ian Weir had seen the last few episodes. Because it's like, you know, he kind of betrayed the hell out of Megatron, and he probably doesn't want him around anymore. But here he is, and he's more than happy to do his bidding.
It's also funny, though, that Ian Weir wrote this, basically setting up for the return of Dinobot.
Well, yeah, it's...
In a roundabout way. Like, it's hilarious. He's the one that kills him off, and he's the one that returns him slowly, like, in a roundabout way. He's not the actual writer of the return, but... It's just strange.
He probably... You know, got the mandate. Hey, we need more Dinobot. Make it happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at the page for this, the wiki page, the TF wiki page for this episode, and you guys see the quote under Cyber Venom Optimal Optimus?
Yes, those robot heroes are adorable. I love where he gets hit with that Transmetal Cyber Venom. Which,
oh, man.
Which is, mind you, never seen again. But it's like a drunken Optimus Primal when it gets done. He, like, infects really big, and then he's like, well, I'm not going in stasis lock, but my little guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he cute?
Well, he ends up with his giant head.
Yeah. Which keeps expanding. Yeah. My disproportional head is not able to transform. I'm sorry.
I think if I got shot in the ass, my head would explode too.
Through one of them ends.
Well, he just kind of turns around. He's like, I got something. in my ass. Could you maybe look and see what that is? And
tarantula's butt plugged him.
Why am I flashing to Caddyshack 2 and Dan Aykroyd asking Chevy Chase if he'll pull the arrow out and suck out the poison out of his butt?
Come here. My little guy.
Yeah, the whole Optimal Optimus being drunk and singing thing. That whole scene is probably going to be a quote for this episode.
That was quite strange.
Retro's like, that's not what I wanted to hear. What about you, Michael? Or do you have other stuff, Steve?
I have one more, and it's based on one of the pictures from the wiki. The little girl, Una, who's hanging on Primal's finger, like, it's a magical pull my finger, or it could be monkey bars.
Yeah, there you go.
Pun on words, monkey bars.
For a monkey.
She looks like a monkey.
So does he, kinda.
Not anymore. He's the monkey's uncle.
Be a monkey's uncle.
There, I'm done.
Okay, then.
My turn.
Yes.
I'll go. Dinobot. The Return of Dinobot. Or it's a clone of The Return of Dinobot. But I was reminded of Sam Kinison. Sam Kinison's like, hey, didn't that guy die? Yeah, but he's real stubborn, so he would admit it. Oh, come on. You guys worship at the altar of Kinison, don't you? Or is that too early for you?
I know I've heard of him. I don't.
Oh, man.
Hey, at least I've heard of him.
All right. I won't school you this time, but, you know. I'll be sending you some Sam Kinison links.
Okay.
I actually saw him before he died, so it was a good show. But Optimus Primal gives Black Arachne her orders, and she's got this exasperated head shaking. She just puts her head back, and she's like, ah, fuck me. She waves her head. That was hilarious. It's just the way they animated it. I mean, they're not that they weren't doing a really good job of body language already, but you know, it really came out in this episode. Especially with the proto-humans, because you know, their facial expressions are kind of crappy. They can open their mouth and close their mouth and move their big buggy eyes around, but you know, you can't really see any emotion or expression there at all. They're very limited as to what you can do apparently with primates' faces.
Yeah.
But you know, they did a real good job with just the body language and the sounds that they made. So, kudos to those animators.
Kudos.
It's like a Klingon word. Kudos! Yeah. I think it means, like, Twinkie or something.
Actually, there used to be Kudos cereal bars or Kudos, like, granola bars or something.
Oh, those were good.
Yes.
I remember those, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it was good almost all the time, I think. It's been a while since I've had one. There was a scene where Tarantulas was speeding between the Dinobot clones, which I thought was awesome. It reminded me of Jurassic Park 2, when they were herding the dinos on motorcycles.
Yeah.
There was one scene, I think, the guy on a motorcycle like went in between the legs of a brontosaur or something that, you know, I vaguely remember, but I thought it was terribly cool. I was trying to find a clip of that online, so I could attach it, because I'm like, that so reminds me of the motorcycle driving between the dinos. But I couldn't find one. So that's why I don't have any context to go along with this, but if you've seen Jurassic Park, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Megatron says, here I'm talking in bullet points. Stop it, Mike. there was a quote where he says, you know, the base is there for the asking. And Quickstrike's like, I don't want to ask. I want to go in there and kick some keister. And Megatron says, okay.
Yeah. That'll be another quote of the episode for this one.
I so laughed so hard at that. I thought that was hilarious. He's like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yes, yeah, just before the boob comment.
Right before the... You go right on ahead. Here you go. Have fun. And eventually Black Arachnia sacrifices herself for the kids that she hates. And yeah, it's like, she says, I slipped. She slipped. You know, she just slipped and dove in the line of fire in front of the primate children.
Yeah, she only slipped sideways to jump in front of the kids. I purposely didn't slide on purpose.
On purpose.
I mean it.
Yeah, it was a banana peel. It wasn't my fault.
Optimus was eating, I'm sorry.
He's a messy eater. He just puts shit all over the floor.
He's a messy monkey.
He transformed to beast mode and started flinging poo and smacking his chest.
There'll be no flinging poo on this episode.
It's primal time.
Primal time. Have some poo.
What's up?
Yeah, exactly. Poo for you. But Waspinator gets his pretty nicely with the dino stomp.
That was definitely a different approach to a Waspinator splat attack. It was something new that we haven't seen.
Well, they are pretty good about breaking out the imaginative Waspinator splat alerts for the next couple episodes, at least. They felt bad because he spent that last episode not getting hurt at all. So they're like, man, what can we do to this guy? How can we just punish him? So badass caveman, Captain Caveman, jumps up on the Dinobot clone and beats the shit out of him with his club.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, something I learned from my friend Dinobot.
He's like, just
because you guys don't know what to do, I think I'll hit that thing that's blinking.
That's right. Hit it in the head. That tends to work too. Well, let's see. I didn't get that because he like jumped on its back, and he's literally sitting on the box that controls the Dinobot clone. So if you were to disable it with a hammer, you'd have to hit yourself in the crotch with a hammer.
Well, you got to figure back then they didn't have them that big.
But inexplicably, they start wearing skirts in this one. So obviously they've got something there that they don't want to hit with a hammer.
And he did the Chewbacca call when he got on top of it. He went, ooh, la 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 la, boom.
Oh my god.
I can't do Chewbacca, so, yeah. 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 What was that?
Arnold we'll get Schwarzenegger. Michael Winslow to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I came in to see George Lucas, and he told me don't do the animal sound. I can't do George Lucas either. Or, yeah, I can't do George Lucas, I can't do Chewbacca, and I can't do Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, I'm not even going to try. I kill you.
I will fucking kill you.
So, back on to the topic at hand of cutting edge here.
Who are you? Oh, yeah, sorry, I was getting way off topic again. Yeah, the last thing I had was toward the end of the episode where, Black Arachnia is basically grinding Cheetor's manhood into the dirt, and then she walks off with Silverbolt, and Silverbolt, like, turns around and says, hands off my hooch, kiddo.
He didn't actually say that, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Wilson is just embellishing the scene.
No, you can tell that's what he said. Hands off my hooch. But, that's just pushing Cheetor towards the dark side.
Mm.
Yeah, Cheetor says something along the lines of that he's not a nice cat.
He's not a kid anymore, and he's not so nice either.
Yeah.
But, so in the next episode, which I guess we'll get to momentarily, he becomes not so nice.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. Do we have anything else about the cutting edge?
Aside from Waspinator taking off again. Ding.
But you took the alien transmitter unit. Where is it?
Gone. Ain't that a kick in the lug nuts?
Snotty little flounder, ain't he? Let me gut him for you, boss.
No, he's mine. I shall feast upon his still pulsating spark.
What is that thing?
Dunno, boss. Some kind of ghost, maybe. Or it will be when I'm done with it. Yeehaw! Here comes poison!
And finally up today is the Feral Scream two-parter. In part one, which was the original air date of February 7th, 1999, written by Jules Dennis.
That's a seven.
Cheetor. What?
That's a seven.
Whatever. Cheetor is plagued by nightmares, will neither... Stop interrupting me, goddammit! The hell is wrong with you?
Oh, feel free to start over.
Okay, retake number three.
I'm a hammer.
Cheetor is plagued by nightmares, but will neither enter the CR chamber for the repair nor submit to a medical exam. Optimus Primal and Rhinox are puzzled by a strange beast that emerges from Cheetor's quarters. At Predacon HQ, Megatron has run into this mutated beast as well and dispatches Waspinator and the clone Dinobot to hunt it down. What is the mystery of the Transmetal 2 creature? Well, this is easily my favorite episode out of season three, this two-parter. Outside of Optimal Situation, this is easily my favorite, so far. I would say, and I'm kind of getting into a season three recap here, but I would say my three favorites are Optimal Situation, this two-parter, and the Nemesis two-parter. Hey, wait, I thought all the stasis pods were destroyed in season one finale when the Planet Buster blowed up real good.
No, there were still ones on the planet. Because, where the hell did the Fusors and Primal and Rampage and Transmutate come from?
Okay.
Yes.
There's still a few around then, I guess.
Yes, there's ones that are unknown. I mean,
it's not just a MacGuffin.
No, well, it must be, because where the hell are they getting them? The Axelon's gone, unless they're just finding ones that are just that landed, because they launched all of them, whether people were in them or not.
Right.
And yeah. Black Rantnia lost one in Agenda, so who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Damn, this is the first episode in a long time where Cheetor screws up in the beginning of the episode.
He seems to screw up in every episode.
No.
I mean, the last episode, he had his ass completely handed to him. And even the Waspinator landed a hit on him. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he keeps screwing up.
More mad scientist Megatron. With a bonus with Waspinator being Igor.
Igor.
Whatever.
Igor. But he didn't have a hunchback.
You know what's funny? I used that scene from this episode for my resurrection earlier in the Beast Unleashed podcast.
It sounded very familiar.
Yes, you're going to have to resurrect yourself again for ATTF episode 50 because we killed you in the War for Cybertron episode.
You spent an awful lot of time in the backyard.
I was traveling with Megatron, gaining money.
Is that what you call it now?
Yes.
Euphemisms for anal sex.
I assassinated people.
Well, there's an ass in there. Yeah.
He assassinated people in their ass.
Their ass.
No, go fuck yourself.
Okay, so getting back to this here, Cheetor, no, and that was when he got blown into the transmetal 2 thing. Skipping ahead a little bit to when Depth Charge has the driver, and he's like, I think he's like right next to the Ark, and he puts it on this little computer thing. Oh my god, hey, it's Sentinel. What?
I thought maybe that was like his secret lair or something, because he kind
of... No, it was right next to the Ark.
It was kind of... Yeah, but I mean, you know, aside from wherever the bridge is, you know, he just kind of jumped down into it, and it did look like the Ark was nearby, but I mean, the bridge is sitting right next to the Ark too, so that's not completely out of the question.
But the point of my note is, hey, it's Sentinel. The computer voice is Sentinel's voice.
Oh. I don't think it was.
I think I've heard Ian do the voice enough times in the intros to this episode, in the intros to these episodes of this podcast. That computer voice was the Sentinel voice.
Well, blatant lack of continuity.
Okay, that's it. We're putting in this clip so Michael can actually hear it for this part of the episode, because, yeah. Steve, you better prove me right here, because I know I'm right. That was Ian doing Sentinel.
I'm double-checking right now, just to be sure.
Okay, moving on.
The episode again.
Moving on here. Black Arachnia, you schemer. Because that was when Depth Charge threw the Transmetal 2 driver over into the volcano.
And she does the total ninja move and steals the Transmetal 2 driver.
Yes. Speaking of ninjas, Cheetor the Ninja Kitty.
Oh, when he actually becomes like the Shadow Panther?
Yes. And, well, the Ninja Kitty line goes into my next note. Spinning top Megatron, Cheetor likes new cat toys.
Oh, see, I could totally do without the Tasmanian Megatron.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. So, and what makes it even better is his look when he ends up over the cliff.
Uh-oh. Yeah. He was just missing a sign that says, whoops, you know. And he looks down and goes, oh. Well, he wouldn't even go, oh. He'd just hold up the sign and goes, doot, doot. Down he would go.
Yes.
So, yeah, I didn't like it. No, sir, didn't like it.
When Michael sent me Optimal Optimus, unfortunately, he left him in the monkey mode. And this is the first episode that we even see Transmetal to Monkey Optimal Optimus. And I hate that design.
You know, I find that shocking because, to me, the monkey mode is very reminiscent of his Transmetal 1 mode. I mean, he's got, you know, the big
it's
ape
too
chest
big.
And
it's
the ape face, and...
No.
See, I never liked... I didn't like the...
Transmetal 1
specifically because, you know, the beast mode was that ape face and the ape body, and I just didn't dig it. Whereas, you know, with the Transmetal 2, or the Optimal Optimus, same thing. He's got the big ape face and big ape body, and I mean, not so much the entire body, but just the torso. Because even in robot mode, he's still kind of built like an ape.
Well, yeah, I mean, his arms are when he's in regular robot mode, but when he's in monkey mode for the Optimal Optimus, I don't like that design whatsoever. Huh. I don't even like it on the toy. I just don't like it. And the whole coolness part of Transmetal 1 Optimus was the fact that it's a blue surfer ape.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like it, because it's a blue surfer ape.
Yeah,
but
and my...
Did they show the beast mode in the optimal situation?
No, they did not.
They didn't?
This is the first time you see it.
This is the first time you see
all
it.
All of his modes.
No.
No, this is the first time you see that. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, going back to Sentinel, Steve, did you find anything out?
No, I'm still cycling through the YouTube clips.
Okay. Megatron is so useless. Anyways.
Useless fool. Research next time.
See, I don't have to do research because I know. Because I know the voice of Sentinel, and that was the voice of Sentinel. End of story.
All right. I think Steve should lie just to piss you off. I think that would be I would laugh. But I can go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, I'll go. Yeah.
We're waiting for you to go now.
I will go when I'm good and ready.
You go now, or I will spark.
That was so an entry for Hightower there, but yeah. Never mind. You guys seem to love the Police Academy movie so much, and Hightower did not make an appearance. I'm very shocked.
Hightower didn't make an appearance in what?
I'll go when I'm good and ready, Hightower says.
Oh, okay.
You'll
not
go
thinking.
Now, mister.
Use the scene.
Steve didn't catch that one. I'm really shocked. All right.
Here.
Yeah, so everyone thinks that... Oh, you're going to play it? No? He's listening
to
it.
That was the Sentinel voice.
Was it?
Told you.
All right, fine. All right.
Go back and watch that scene in this episode. I'm telling you, it was Sentinel. I know.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway. Sorry, I had a guest host over here talking. Yeah, so edit that out in post. Everybody take
edit
a drink.
Your face.
Every time we say edit that out in post, you have to take a drink. That's the new part of the rule. Of the Blanchard drinking game. Since he doesn't say, I don't know anymore, we have to make
fine,
it.
Fine, I'll get a drink of water.
All right, moving right along. Cheetor's dead? No. That was my bullet point. but it's still not a good day to be a Cheetor.
Cat was tough. Went out fighting.
He went out fighting. That's what kills me, though. He's like, yeah, he's totally dead. And then the next episode, Death Charge is like, okay, fine, he's not dead. You know? It's like, hey.
This is all sad.
Yeah, he's like, oh. Cry me a river. That's right. Go cry, emo bot. When Rampage meets Dinobot 2, I was thinking, you know, Rampage could totally take this guy. Even though he's got full control over his spark crusher inside of his chest.
That was
yeah, there's no way in hell Rampage would even come close to getting near Dinobot TM2.
You know, I don't think so. I think Rampage could take him. I mean, if not just in sheer size and just reach over and pound him, then, you know, he could stand 2 miles away and nuke him with this big damn gun. So yeah, Rampage could totally take Dinobot. Rubber Ducky, however, could not. What, couldn't kill him?
No, he couldn't kill Dinobot.
If he ripped the spark out of his chest, he could.
If he could get close enough.
I think he could. I'm waiting for a scene where Dinobot's sitting there like, I'm badass and I'm, you know, better than you and blah blah blah. And next thing you know, you see just a big fist coming out of his chest and he's got his beating spark in his hand, and he's like, how you like them apples?
Because that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's never going to happen for the simple fact of Megatron's explanation. Only he can achieve
have the perfect the technology to form a perfect union of the sparks.
I'd be willing to bet that if Rampage got a hold of that other piece of the spark, and as unpalatable as it would be to him, he could take that piece to Rhinox, and Rhinox would fix him.
He'd eat it.
He'd eat it with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
It'll become one with the Rampage.
Yeah, it goes into my tummy. You will assimilate next... it. Yeah, exactly. But now that Dinobot 2 has the other half of Rampage's spark, Death Charge is going to be chasing him around, because every time his sensor, goes off, he thinks it's going to be him, even though it's like, Dinobot.
Crap, wrong one.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting when he actually started talking, because the clones couldn't talk. Clones didn't have robot mode, but they couldn't talk. But I guess Scott McNeil is going to... Clone?
Clone did talk.
I didn't hear any clones talk.
The original clone, not the Cyber Raptors, the clone that Dinobot ate could talk.
Oh, that one. Yeah. No, the Cyber Raptors were... Yeah. Oh, I see where you're... Yeah, the Cyber Raptors were kind of brainless. Drones. They were just drones.
Now, you would have thought Megatron would have learned from using these drones of trying to do the same thing in Beast Machines. Not to get too much into that, but I mean, you would have thought he would have learned a body without a spark doesn't quite function that well.
I think he was going for quantity over quality in Beast Machines.
And the differences between here and Beast Machines is that in Beast Machines, he gave the control over to the three generals.
Yeah.
Of Thrustinator, Jetstorm,
and
Tank Ox. Yeah, Tank Ox. There you go.
Doofenshmirtz's Thrustinator Innator.
Rhinecore.
Rhinecore.
What else? No, I heard McNeil doing the voice for this one, and it sounds like he's doing Dinobot with like a mouthful of marbles. It's like it still kind of sounds like Dinobot, but not really.
It's a more gritty, emotionless Dinobot.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a Christian Bale Dinobot. It's...
the whole scene with Megatron and his energy jacuzzi. Energy jacuzzi. I mean, before when we see him in his, in his bath, basically. We would see, close-ups of him, sitting there, and there was a rubber ducky floating nearby. But this time, they've got just full-on broad shots of him sitting in his energy jacuzzi with his rubber ducky talking to other people, and everybody's in the same shot.
Yep.
And it's like, man, if I were to have, literally, a command bath, right, I wouldn't want it to be on the ground.
It's not like, only that, but I don't think I'd want the other bots watching me.
Well, his crotch was underwater,
I feel naked without my gun.
Don't make me stand up.
Dinobot, wash my back. Scratch it.
Would you like me to wash your dick, you little shit?
Boil my water with your laser eye.
Stop! You're making me snort. All right.
Rampage, give it a whirlpool. Spin your gun. Now, Dinobot, crush your spark. Good, Rampage. Oh, yes.
Oh.
What else you got, Michael?
I, I can't even think after that.
I know.
There was a line where Death Chart says, "Ain't that a kick in the lug nuts?" Which I thought was funny.
Maybe that's where they got the name from.
Lug nut. That's right. Your left lug nut or your right lug nut? I'm not
Give
sure.
Me both.
Give me your lug nuts. That'll be the next "Give me your face."
Oh,
goatee.
Right, and wholesome entertainment for the whole family. Yeah, and at the end, you know, I just noticed that you've got Cheetor kind of crawling in on his last legs, and nobody sent out a search party for him. He had to crawl home all by himself. It felt kind of bad.
Trainer does it. Why can't he?
Because it's not like, you know, Cheetor's head riding home on the hand chariot.
You know, for as broken up and concerned as Primal was, you think he would have been a better daddy to him.
It's all my fault. I was a little hard on the beaver.
No, wrong animal.
No, he's referencing Leave It to Beaver.
I know that.
Yeah.
I was referencing something different, so.
Oh, God.
I told you.
Michael, don't ever say "a little hard on the beaver" again, because I just caught the Loaded Weapon 1 reference of Kathy Ireland.
Oh, the gratuitous beaver shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an awesome scene. The gratuitous beaver. Which reminds me of that link I sent you guys.
No.
White beaver, no. Snapping beaver. Yeah. Cheech Marin is hilarious. Yeah. Cheech. You can't go wrong with Cheech. And Vampire Cheech, come on.
Or Chong.
Well, you know, Chong's kind of old and burnt out.
It's old and
he's just kind of old and he's still funny. He's still funny.
Yeah. He actually does something.
They're on tour again together. I think they made up.
Okay, we're getting... Okay, Thrill Scream, part 1. What else do we have? Steve, do you want to go now?
Yes. I've been waiting for this all night.
Oh, lovely. He's going to tear my favorite episodes apart. I just know it. Holy shit.
Yes. I like how Waspinator cowers behind Megatron as soon as Dinobot comes out. Waspinator, not like new Lizardbot. And then Death Charge is like, "I agree with the bug, but then I'm not crazy about any of you."
Yeah.
Yes. I like Megatron's mad scientist phrase. "From the Tempest Fury, the spark ignites to sire new life, transmetal to life."
I was really surprised that he wasn't like, "It's alive! Alive!"
I almost thought
he already had that moment in season 1.
Yes.
Still.
Yeah, he's
got been... Igor this time, so.
Yes.
Lost Master!
I like how Dinobot, right after Depth Charge blows away the three, or the other two guys, Dinobot just jumps up and starts kicking him, and scratching the shit out of his front.
Yeah.
Just damaging him horribly, which was awesome.
Oh, I almost forgot to mention the damage model. Yeah. I always mention...
That slag.
Yeah, I always mention the damage
model. Wait, which damage model? For who?
Death Charge.
Oh, yeah.
Got slag pretty bad, too, in the beginning. Like, he was coasting home.
Yep.
Which, that was, I think, the first time you actually see either one of them have a damage model, which was, like, horrible in damage.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a pretty nice touch.
I was going to say, in the next episode, getting way ahead of ourselves, when he transforms into beast mode and gets hit in the chest with that huge gaping chest wound.
Yep.
I thought that, you know, that's a damage model.
Yeah.
I got a hole in my heart. there was also, surprisingly enough, a maximal... subgrid called Zarak.
Yeah.
Referencing Zarak from...
Yeah. Yep. It sounds to me like the writers were just, you know, making casual glances toward alt toys Transformers and finding words that they...
Well, they I think they were just trying to plug continuity in there somewhere, so they're like, what random name can we pull out of our ass from old continuity? Okay, exactly. This sounds good. And it seems to match the crazy scientist robotic thing of Headmasters, so let's do it.
Make it happen.
Yes. The Tasmanian Devil Megatron, not a big fan.
Yeah.
As
that was funny as hell. I don't care what you say. It was funny as hell.
Sarky.
$5.
I wouldn't pay you $5 for that. That's Tasmanian gross. Megatron.
Yes. Waspinator doesn't get very fortunate in this episode. He gets blasted and zip-zapping across the screen throughout the entire, like, part where they're creating Dinobot, and after Cheetah gets there and spices things up, as he calls it.
Yeah, with some, what did he say, Cheetor pepper or Kitty pepper? He said something, I forget what it was. Peppers. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
I just found a way to make a reference to Transformers and Stone Temple Pilots. You got Steve. You mentioned the or Michael. You mentioned the gaping hole in Primal's chest, and you know,
yeah.
Is that a hole in your heart? How about tripping on a paper hole in your heart, which is a title of a STP song.
I don't want to say never heard Stone Temple Pilots. Maybe I did in the 90s and just don't remember what they sang. I'm not sure. I wasn't into the whole grunge movement.
Anyways, what else you got, Steve?
The transmittal driver that has the Predacon flavor. It's got Cybertronics embossed on the ridges. It never actually tells. This is like a MacGuffin in itself because it doesn't tell where the hell this thing came from. There's been no reference to it prior to this episode, or where the hell it came, you know, to be, where Megatron, you know, anything about finding this damn device.
Yeah, and when Depth Charge scans it, it says it's alien in origin, and it was altered by Megatron. That's all it says.
I wouldn't know it's altered by Megatron. Megatron signed it. By Megatron.
Well, Maybe G1 Megatron laser inscribed another message.
I call shenanigans on that one.
Yeah.
He wasn't around during the transmittal time period. And the Vok, I don't think we're quite aware of him. Or vice versa. Anyways, shortly before Depth Charge emerges from the CR chamber, there's a close up of a reading or readout flashing Vok in green. The F character in red stacked vertically, followed by U in red. The text is upside down, probably intentionally to lessen the chances that it would be noticed before the episode aired.
Yeah, you really had to be watching for that or you'd miss it.
I read that off the wiki, which I'm going to go back and I'm going to get a screen cap of that.
Yeah, I read it on the wiki, and I was like, okay, well, we'll keep an eye out for it. And when it happened, it was literally like a second.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go back through, and I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to actually have a screen cap.
I can't read Cybertronian anyway, so.
Oh, that was in English.
Who can?
It wasn't in English.
Yes, it was.
Are you sure? I think it was in Cybertronian.
No. It was fuck.
Go back
green.
And get the screen cap thing, because I saw it. I didn't try to read it.
Oh, I will get it.
Yeah.
I'm determined now. This will be cool. I will have this.
So are we ready to move on to part two?
Yes.
So starting Feral Scream part two. The original air date was February 7th, 1999. Oh, wait, that's... Oh, wow. Huh.
I didn't interrupt this time.
No, you didn't, but you threw me off in the first place. Holy crap.
What?
I read the second. Oh, God. I read part two's description for part one. Holy shit.
What a gene ass. And you said Jim.
And cue emphysema. Yeah.
Crack
anyone?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think you can breathe.
I guess they're just going to have to be backwards. Optimus Primal and Cheetor are tracking Waspinator on a mission to deliver a stasis pod to Megatron, whose plans to recreate the lost Dinobot is a subservient for Hunter. The operation is a success, and Dinobot is reborn as a Transmetal 2. Oh, shit. Oh, God.
I totally should have called you out on that.
Yeah, well, you guys did.
Backwardness.
Well, if you would have stopped interrupting me in the first place, I would have figured it out. But I didn't figure it out.
Of course you would have.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Okay, so it's quiet enough for a little rat nap. this is... Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get two of my notes out of the way now, because they kind of pretty much are almost the same note. This is pretty much a puberty and a teenager episode.
Yeah, I could kind of equate it to that. It's like a coming of age of Cheetor.
Well, yeah.
Oh, the joy of cyber puberty. I totally just screwed up that line. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
His voice changed.
in the dream sequence, Silverbolt's laugh is just menacing.
Yeah.
When they're all making fun of Cheetor.
I like the fisheye lens view where everyone's face is all distorted.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, badass Optimal Optimus against Depth Charge. He could give Movieverse Prime a run for his money. Give me your face.
Yeah, you tell me what I want to know, or I'm taking it out of your ass.
Yep.
Why would you want surprise, it out of his ass?
He doesn't want anything out of his ass. It smells like fish. But I was surprised that Depth Charge actually admitted that he knew what happened. He's like, all right, I'm sorry. I knew I said he was dead, but he's not.
Yeah.
Hey, I checked that reference.
Yeah.
Of the CRJ of the, with Depth Charge, it does say "fuck you."
In English?
No, it's in Cybertronian.
Ah, that's what I thought.
I used the maximal text font, and it's of course upside down.
Yeah.
And backwards, but. It does say fuck.
I think I would have noticed, even if it was just like lines and dots, if it had said fuck you in English, I would have picked up on that.
It does. The green flashes fuck, and the red one flashes you.
You.
Just goes. Yeah, and it keeps saying you, till he walks out.
Yeah. My two favorite Waspinator splat alerts of the entire Beast Wars 3 seasons is the very first one of the Chain Guns of Doom, and the one in this episode. Damn, Waspinator Splat Alert, he got shredded by Transmetal 2 Dinobot.
This was this was the Ginsu Waspinator.
Oh, it's like you don't even, you know, all you need is a Transmetal 2 Dinobot in your office. You don't need a paper shredder.
You did it origami style.
It's kind of a toss-up between this one and the Cube Waspinator.
Okay, three. Three.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our two best Waspinator splat alerts are, number one, the Gatling Gun of Doom, and number two, the Shredder, and three, the... Okay, I'll come back.
As I've said before, I really don't like the Ape Optimal Optimus mode. It's so fugly.
But he scratches himself.
Yeah, it's
he turns into an ape, and he scratches himself. I could have done without that. But.
After Waspinator somehow puts himself back together again, he's wearing a sling in a later scene.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a sling in a later scene in his wasp mode.
He's got to hold them.
Not his robot
together.
Mode. It's his wasp mode, and it's on one of his wasp tendrils or tentacles or whatever the hell they have.
An arm.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Waspy tentacles. I was touched by his noodly appendage.
Okay, ew. Cheetor went through puberty and came out okay. I gotta say, Transmetal 2 Cheetor and Beast Machines Cheetor are my two most favorite designs, while Transmetal 1 is a close second or third or whatever, but this was really, really cool to see this design. However, Hasbro screwed it up on the toy.
I was going to pull the toy out and take a closer look at it because the amount of detail on the cartoon is amazing. And I'm not sure if that translated very well to the figure.
It didn't.
I haven't actually looked at it yet, but I was thinking that as I was watching the show.
Yeah. Optimus, back off. You're embarrassing me.
Stop kissing me, Mom. So awkward.
Yeah, like I care. It shreds preds, okay?
Yeah. So awkward. He's like, I really like you! Oh, did I say that? No, I'm being cool. Sorry. Yeah. I'm playing it cool. See? Yeah. But it's funny, though, because you can see that he's thinking, yeah, I'm the cat's meow over here. She's digging on me, you know? And she's standing behind him going, I think I like it. I'll take one. You know, not so much because of him, but because
of the Transmetal 2 possibilities.
She's
yeah,
wanting to be Transmetal 2.
Yep. So, who wants to go now?
I guess I will go.
Okay.
Yes, I will start out by saying there's a lot of good confrontation moves in this episode.
Yep.
Especially between Cheetor showing off, Primal getting in Depth Charger's face, Cheetor's disturbing transformation with the green goo from Ghostbusters.
The green stuff. Slimer. What exactly does the green stuff do? I'm not sure why he's got green stuff coming out of his ass.
And it wasn't coming out of his ass, it was coming out of his leg.
Leg and chest. It was coming from his spark.
Well, in robot mode, it came out of his chest. It came
out of his leg.
Yeah, in beast mode, it came... Well...
It came out of his leg. I've seen this episode enough times. Don't argue with me. I know it came out of his left hip is where it came out.
The upper thigh, let's call it.
Well, and if you look at...
Gluteus maximus there.
And if you look at his toy... That panel actually flips open and you can see a spark, so...
Yeah.
It's supposed to be how they repair is the Transmetal 2.
It just seems to me that there's some green stuff coming out of his ass.
No, there isn't.
It's like his ass.
No, it doesn't. The Beast Unleashed podcast is not responsible for any opinion Michael Wilson may have on this podcast.
But it does endorse mine.
But Steve's is totally endorsed.
But yeah, I like the little quip of Rat Trap and Primal going back and forth asking about Cheetor and discussing if, you know, how he doesn't understand why he won't use the CR chamber, and then Rat Trap's, well, maybe he's trying to prove something, and Primal's like, I don't know. And then Rat Trap's like, I'm gonna go to sleep on the job. Good night.
Maybe he's trying to prove something. Well, maybe he's just spanking it in there and we don't know.
He's like, kids. I won't know. Yeah. I'm not looking in the room.
Well, they have him videotaped. That was the... they've got the security monitor in there basically looking directly at him.
I like how Primal got directly in Depth Charger's face. Like, you know, it was awesome, that whole quote.
Yeah, yeah.
You listen, hardhead. You know, and then he's like, I'll rip out your core processor and extract it personally.
I will tear off your head and shit down your neck.
I am so glad that we did not start this podcast till after all of us saw Revenge of the Fallen, because we wouldn't be able to equate it to Give Me Your Face, because as soon as I saw that scene with the two of them, I'm like, holy crap, it's Movieverse Optimus.
That's probably where they stole it from. They're like, oh, let's take a little bit of Optimus, and yeah, we'll mix him with a little bit of Classic, and then give him a little bit of Bayverse. You know?
Bayverse.
Yeah.
Bablebee.
You don't even cross contaminate them. Yes. Wait, need plan. Waspinator in charge. I am the plan. Waspinator and Dinobot.
Yeah.
As he ginsues him.
Yes.
He slices and dices and kills little mices.
He's like, peace off. And then he's like, I take this on my own. Don't need you. Just
well, I thought like it was...
Pterosaur in season one.
I thought it was going to be like one of those anime things where, you know, you raise your sword and slice, and the bad guy's they like, slice is my neck you. Cut? Yeah, it's like, is my head cut off? I can't tell. And then he looks up and his head rolls off and blood shoots everywhere, you know. And it was much more epic. You know, I thought, well, he's just going to slice them in two or three pieces and they're all going to fall to the ground. But the fact that he completely just shredded him into confetti, and there was like little pieces of confetti paper spiraling down with it, yep, with a Waspinator head on top, I thought that was awesome.
Yes. Yes, it was also cool seeing Cheetor revert back to his feral beast mode like he did in Call of the Wild.
Mm.
Yeah, but except this cat sound from him, of course, I don't know. Hell, they probably had Frank Welker on hand to do the cat sound, but...
No.
It
sounded like they used real cat sounds.
Yeah, did. Well...
The what?
You gonna say something, Steve?
I said they probably did.
Oh.
Wait, sometimes you can hear, you know, Courtly going, rawr, 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 you know, which is, yeah, okay. But then when he'll wake up from a dream, or specifically while he's transmittal to beast mode, they'll use what sounds like real, you know, cat roars. Rawr, rawr, you know, not like,
yeah,
rawr, 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 but like really serious, like roar. You know.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Frank Welker's animal sounds don't sound like a person do them, so, you know.
If they could get Frank Welker, they would have had him do Ravage. Or, who am I thinking? G1 Megatron.
Yeah,
and
true.
Ravage. Heck yeah, that would have been awesome, but...
Yes. I like all the ornaments that were in Cheetor's room.
Yeah.
A photo of himself in Primal from the first season, a big trophy with a Predacon insignia on the base, a model of a solar system with, you know, orbiting planets, something that could be a model of a Cybertronian city, a photo of Black Arachnia by his bed.
Speaking in there.
Yes. A potted plant. That was weed. Three spare tail clubs, a miniature model of the Axlon. Because, you know, he wanted something to remember the first ship he was on. And then a clock of some kind with something with the solar system. And some other model thing. I don't know.
No, I liked the model of the Axelon.
Yes, I think that was cool.
Yeah, at first I thought it was like the Ark. And I'm like, no, that's the Axelon with the guns deployed and everything.
Yeah, we haven't seen it in a while, so...
Yeah,
oh, wait, it's underwater.
Broken in half like a Titanic.
Floating down a river like a log.
I actually liked, I really enjoyed, and I'm not trying to interrupt Steve here, but now that I'm thinking about this, I really enjoyed the explosion model on Cheetor when he finally gets his Transmetal 2 body to shake off Transmetal 1. Mm. How it just kind of disintegrates off of him. I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah. That was a cool scene.
Steve?
Yes.
Anything else?
No, probably not. I think I'm good. No, okay. It's not this two-parter is not one of my favorites of the episode, although it does, or of the season, although it does start going back to the more serious, darker tone that's going to pretty much hold out the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Other than, like, for instance, I think the next lightest one that we've got is, I believe, Go With the Flow is kind of a lighter episode. I think it's the last one we've got of the season, though.
Yeah.
There's no Low Road 2?
No, thank God. I think Primus.
All paths lead back to the Low Road, one of the best episodes of season 2. Oh,
no. You know what? You can go like someplace and go fuck yourself, because that episode is garbage.
All right, so we're going to go to some clips or some quotes or something, and then we'll come back with the outro.
I don't get to go?
Beefy!
Oh, wait, didn't you already go?
No.
Oh, okay, well, what are your thoughts on... Holy shit!
Never
well,
mind me, I'll just go to my corner. Yeah.
Oh, God. What did you think of part two?
Hated it.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Now I'm pouting. Fine. I like that Primal still has the vocoder in his voice. It's subtle, but he's the only one that sounds kind of, you know, metallic, if you will, you know?
Because he's Prime.
Because he's Prime. Yeah, but no, he's talking in just a regular conversational voice. But they have this, you know, the almost like an echo overlay over it through the whole thing. I'm assuming he eventually sheds that.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm waiting for confirmation, but no. Okay.
I'm not sure.
But the whole thing with Cheetor and his Dr. Cheetor and Mr. Hyde thing. You know, where yeah, it's like it's almost like he's a werewolf. Where you yeah. know, oh, I'm damaged, but then I turn into a wolf at night and I you know stalk the Predacons, and then when I wake up, I'm back to my own self and I'm healed and feeling great. You know, but you know he has to come to grips with the fact that he has this new form, and that it's actually him. So he's got this strange, you know, form of transformer lycanthropy. Please tell me I don't have to explain to you what lycanthropy is.
No, you don't. Okay. Go ahead. All
right, good. All right. So we're going to have to Google that one, too. Yeah, but eventually, you know, he comes to grips with it. He's got a nice new robot mode that he's very proud of. But at this point, he's, you know, his voice changes and he's all about the teen angst.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, what? Why you gotta be picking on me? You know, why? I'm not a machine, you bastards, you know. And especially toward the end where you've got, you know, Primal kind of like, take a walk with me, boy. And they go out and he says, you know, I think you're going through something and I think you're just not being completely honest with me. And Cheetor is acting completely like he just got caught spanking it. You know, he's like, "What? No, man, what are you talking about? I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Get out of my room. Don't look under my blanket."
Oh, white stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's just... Damn it, Steve. he just pulls the shit out of his hat, you know, completely out of his hat, and I can't think straight now. Because I got this stuck in my head. Piece of crap. All right. Yeah, but no, it's totally teen angst. And he's got, you know, the change in the voice and the pimples and the social awkwardness.
Maybe that's why I didn't like these episodes. It was like too much like people from high school. I'm like, no, no.
Having nightmares with people with fisheye lens faces. And
yeah, I didn't really care for these episodes, to be honest. Like, any of the, you know, any of these three, really.
Yeah. Well, so how many times
get past them?
Yeah, how many times is Cheetor gonna, you know, go through a growth spurt?
Once more after this.
Oh yeah, one more time. Well, at that point, he's an adult. You know, full.
Well, yeah, but still, it's still a growth spurt.
Yeah, he gets taller. He gets taller and a little less awkward. You know, but here he's just like awkward. Especially when he starts talking to women. It's a good thing that Air Razor's not still around, because he would be really awkward then.
Yeah, he'd knock the other cat out of the water.
That's right.
Get that.
I had a horrible, horrible image put in my head when you mentioned Air Razor, because the only thing I can think of is fangirl / fiction of Big Cat, Little Cat, with him and Taiga drawn.
They got the big three-way going, where they're doing the fist bump on either side of her. Like,
So it'd be a true fusor.
Jesus Christ.
Only if they touched in the middle, which would be, I don't know if that's really anatomically possible.
It'd be a flying cat. Well,
oh boy. Talk about killing two birds with one stone. Holy crap.
You mean killing one bird with two stones?
One bird with two cats. Four stones.
What else?
Yeah, I see, because they're like two of them on either side. Yes. You know, fist bumping. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had for this one. I think I'm in consensus where, you know, I like the idea that they've introduced the Transmetal 2 driver, and that you've got a new Cheetor, but a lot of this is really derivative. I mean, we've already seen Megatron as Frankenstein. You know, he's done the mad scientist thing before. We've already seen him in his Energacuzzi with the rubber ducky. It's nice that Scott McNeil gets to do Dinobot again. You know, even though he's got marbles in his mouth, but it's all been done before. If you know what I mean. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Megatron.
Excellent. Yes.
I needed that ego boost to have a Megatron agree with me.
Yes. Speaking of which, David Kaye was just online. But no longer.
Anyways.
Stop. He's in the basement.
Stop stalking David Kaye on Facebook, damn it.
Yes, master.
All right, so now we are going to move to the outro clip and the quotes of the episode, and we'll come back with the outro.
We're here, Cheetor. All of us. Your friends.
We know you can do it.
Cheetor, maximize! Maximize! Yes! You did it!
Optimus! Back off, okay? You're embarrassing me.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Ultra Gear.
And here's quote number one.
Quick strike, you may lead.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Royalty, why was I not chosen?
Because, Inferno, when expecting booby traps... Or we send a boob in first.
Here's quote number two.
Red trip to Optimus!
Oh, hate to interrupt your picnic, but we got big bread problems!
Just hang on, Rat Trap. You and Rhinox are our last hope. Defend the... There he is, my little guy.
There he is, my little guy. Isn't he cute?
That's not what I wanted to hear.
And quote number three.
So, this is the new improved Cheetor.
Yeah, this is it. Teach me to pull the plug on Meg's machinery, huh?
It's got some nice features. I could get used to it.
Yeah? I mean, whatever.
Don't let it go to your processor, Blondie. I'm just saying that a trans-metal 2 body doesn't look too bad.
Huh? Like I care what it looks like. It shreds preds, okay?
That's the spirit.
Oh, yeah. I think I like it.
So do I.
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
So, yes, I would like to apologize to everybody for screwing up the Feral Scream two-parter. It's all Michael Wilson's fault.
Blame me.
Because he kept interrupting me when I was trying to read the first one, and then I just completely glossed over part one. And so when you're listening to Feral Scream part two, part one, it's actually part two's description, and part one's description is in part two. Oh, God. And we can't re-record that 50-minute montage, so that's not going to happen. So we're just going to have to leave it the way it is.
You can always re-record just the summaries and place them on top of those tracks.
I'm too lazy for that, and plus it makes it much more funnier this way. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are seven ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show.
Our ineptitude is hilarious.
Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, burdeckonempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We currently only have one review. What the hell is wrong with you people? Follow us on Twitter. Beast Unleashed is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG on Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP-21.
And Michael?
Pecan CT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we're reviewing four more episodes of Beast Wars Season 3, those being Proving Grounds, Go With the Flow, Crossing the Rubicon, and Master Blaster. For now, I am TFG on Mike with Steve Megatron and
Michael Wilson.
Okay, Megatron, close the show.
I'll show you the Proving Grounds when I go with the flow and play with my Master Blaster. Yes.
So you're not going to cross the Rubicon? Until next time.
Make bath time lots of fun.
Why don't you play with my rubber ducky too?